forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you did allow the lights to come back on and electricity, and thank you for the conveniences, Lord, that you've allowed us to have an experience here. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to the Word of God, and Lord, help us to realize that the things that we see and hear, read about in the Bible, Lord, they're still experienced today in a variety of different ways. And I thank you for allowing us to be a part of your work in Cameroon. And I thank you that we can come back to America and come back to Victory Baptist Church and find that they're still faithfully preaching the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless each one who has come tonight, Lord, with a special blessing. And continue, Lord, to teach us your will and show us your way and where you'd have us to go and when and how. And in particular, Lord, just bless us as we get into the Word tonight and share some testimony. And I pray that you would just touch our hearts, Lord, and encourage us to keep serving you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do you do when the Lord reroutes the work? When the Lord changes things, and you say, how do you know that it's always God that changes things and God that throws an obstacle in the way? I don't always know when it's the Lord himself or when the Lord's just allowing something, but in this text, I do know that it was the Lord. It says very specifically, they were forbidden of who? The Holy Ghost. And who suffered them not? Of the Spirit. And that's a lot to chew on, and I'm not going to always know at times when it's God and when he's just allowing something. But we're going to get to some points here and try to encourage us in these things. You know, there's been a lot of things in history that have changed the world. You know, I'm a pilot, and I happen to think that aviation changed the world. The day the Wright brothers launched their airplane in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina was a game changer for the world. And obviously they weren't carrying people across the ocean yet, but eventually they were. The invention, if you will, of www dot, that changed the world. Information at our fingertips, for better or for worse, it's there. 9/11 obviously changed the world. It impacted missionaries, and not just missionaries, but anybody who likes to travel. And so much we could say about that. In recent memory, COVID-19 was a game changer for everybody. Everybody. Missionaries in particular, and those who were traveling at the time, stranded, and not just that day and weeks and months. I mean, it was a long thing and a big deal for missions and missionaries. Some fields have not recovered. Some missionaries never went back. Some people have never come back to church. And it was a real game changer. You know, there may be something more personal in your life that changed your life. A tragedy, a situation, a spiritual downfall. And maybe it was something positive. Can you remember when God spoke to you in a church service and you've never been the same? You remember when someone shared the gospel with you and you believed in Jesus Christ and you've never been the same? That's game-changing, right? That's life-changing. And so in the history of missions, I can't exactly tell you what Paul was going through in this particular situation, but for God to stop him in his tracks at least twice, rerouted his plans and his work, and as a missionary, I can tell you, though we don't have all the details in this passage, it had to have been frustrating at least. But we learn a lot from this passage of Scripture. You know, this is the second missionary journey of Paul. Acts chapter 16, if you know anything about this chapter, it's dedicated to a single city, and a wonderful church was planted. You know which one? Without looking? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Who is he talking to? The guy's got a nickname. The Philippian jailer. Very good. So, Philippi, right? We're dealing with the city of Philippi, this entire chapter just about dealing with the starting of this wonderful church, one of the best churches in Scripture. Go to the letter that Paul wrote them. It is obvious he loves these people. 10 years after he planted that church, that letter, comes from his heart like no other letter you ever read. But all he went through to get to Philippi to preach the gospel to those people, it was insane. I'm just interpreting that as a missionary. I see these words in scripture, and I know it wasn't easy for Paul to get to Philippi. He wasn't planning to go there. You know that? He wasn't planning to be there. He was planning to go somewhere else. And those plans could have been big. Those plans could have taken some weeks and months of prayer. And it didn't happen. And if you've ever been in that situation where you had a plan and it didn't work out, can you recall some things like that in your life? And at the time, you thought God had abandoned you? You thought you maybe questioned God's will, or why? You might have even used that word, why? Why me? Why this? Why now? Why this situation? Well, those kind of things happen in missions as well, and Paul experienced that. You know, Paul's second missionary journey did not begin easily. Do you know how his missionary journey began? Second journey? Acts 15, the end of the chapter. The Jerusalem Council issue has been resolved, and Paul says to Barnabas, let's go out and visit our churches again. Did that happen? No. Paul and Barnabas are no longer together after an interesting discussion. Barnabas says, yeah, that's a great idea. Let me get Mark and let's go back out. And Paul says, excuse me? Mark, are you kidding? The guy that abandoned us at our greatest need? We were three, Barnabas, me, you, and Mark, but we're not three anymore, and he left us. He is not going again. The Bible says the contention was so sharp between them that they parted asunder. That's not a way that you think. That's, in my mind as a missionary, that's not a great start. Not a great start. So here we see Paul's missionary team dissolved. Dissolved. You know, we've had a lot of dissolving of our missionary team in Cameroon. And honestly, one day, maybe I won't be there. I don't know. I'm not saying that because I'm there. Our time may come to move on. I don't know. But I'm saying that over the years, the team in Cameroon has changed. We used to be over 100, including all the women and children and kids and our missionaries and their wives and their kids. And at our height, just wonderful times. But the team has dissolved. And so many have left, and some few have come in as new missionaries. And I'm thankful for that. If you look at verse number 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Thank the Lord for that verse. You know, we were used to Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, a great team. John Mark was the third guy on that team. And now it's Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. Another team that you think is inseparable, right? The team has been remade here. And I look at verse 1 of chapter 16. They're still missing somebody, right? They were three before. Paul and Barnabas and Mark. Mark was important. He was an important part of their team. I don't know if we can really fully understand that. They needed Mark. You know how I know that? Just because of the mess it caused between Paul and Barnabas. But now you come to chapter 16, and it seems like Paul has not gotten over the fact we need a third guy, Silas. We need someone else. That's how I know Mark was important. Paul is looking for someone else. And you know, Paul could have just thrown away the idea of taking and mentoring young men in missions. But he didn't. He comes across this guy named what in chapter 16? Timothy. You see, the team is not complete with just Paul and Silas. Timothy joins the team. We're not going to go into all the details here, but they behold a certain disciple. He's just there waiting for God to add him to this team. And, you know, his mom is a believer. His dad is not. They have to take care of some interesting Jewish issues before he can join the team that specifically has a Jewish mission at first. And so Timothy is circumcised and essential for going among the Jewish quarter that they're going to have a mission to keep. And they do that in verse number 4. But now you come into the fact that they're launching out again on this great ministry. And they're Paul and Silas and Timothy. The team has been remade. I'm so thankful for the people that God calls and sends to Cameroon or whatever field it may be, I believe a team is essential. I honestly wouldn't be in Cameroon if it was just me and my wife and kids. I wouldn't be there. I need people to work with. I can't do it alone. Pastor Mawson, would you like to do everything by yourself?
No.
I mean, the church is the church, right? You're here to help the pastor, the deacons, the missions committee, whatever all you do together. I mean, just seeing you guys go into a flurry of activity while I relax back there. I mean, you need each other, right? You imagine asking Pastor Mawson to get everything fixed for the night? You guys are supposed to laugh. I mean, but I think he's thankful that he's got some of you young guys with energy and willing just to tackle a project like that. And praise the Lord. We need each other and as we do God's work. And I'm thankful for my brother Chris coming out to join us. I'm thankful for veterans like Tom Needham, who has not quit since 1984. In fact, he was saved in Cameroon. He was over there working a secular project. And he was a pilot, and he was interested in mission or aviation, and he talked to a missionary pilot, and that guy witnessed the gospel to him. And after some time, my coworker was saved in Cameroon. He was an unsaved Methodist. And his wife got saved, and they went back to Iowa and got into a good Bible-believing church, and he just was restless. He said, I got to go back to Cameroon as a missionary. And he has been there since the 1980s, and kind of the guy who has spearheaded so many pioneer works over there. It's like he was willing to go and he has caused this wake that so many of us have just joined in the doors that he's seen open. And sometimes, you know, I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to get on board and to be a helper. And I'm doing my own work and I've got my own ministries, but to join other people that have answered God's call. And we encourage each other. A number of young families over there right now, and another one to join in. And I'm just praying that God would add some more. We have 3 planes and 2 pilots. I would love to see a crew of just people excited to serve God in Cameroon. It's not an easy field. God has to call you there, and God needs to sustain you. But I thank the Lord that he allows teams to be dissolved in his own way, but remakes them. And allows the gospel to continue to go forward. He may remove somebody, but he'll add someone to the team again. And I just thank you for praying for us. And as we've been through the ups and downs of ministry in Cameroon, to know that we have 45-some churches back in the States supporting us faithfully and praying for us. And you may not know all the details. That's why I'm here, just to kind of fill you in a little bit and give you some extra oomph to pray for us again. And just to encourage you that God is at work still in Cameroon. But now we get to verse number 6. We read these verses, and this team is ready to launch out into a wonderful work on the mission field. Paul's second journey, he's about ready to go get it again. And God directs Paul in an interesting way. He directs Paul, you see the team directed here in verse 6 to 15, and he directs Paul, first of all, by forbidding him to go to a certain place. That's not what I normally think of God's direction. Normally, God's direction to me is positive, right? You know, I want to go here. God's led me to go here, and he gets me there as quick and easy as possible. Not always the case. Paul was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go to a certain place, and he tried to go somewhere else, but the Spirit suffered them not. I don't know how God did that, right? I just don't know. But I don't think it was probably easy for Paul and his team. Here's the team leader, wants to serve God and is not allowed to do so right away. But I want you to get this. It's still God directing them. It's still God directing them. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that when your plans fall through, it just might be God himself is standing right next to you, leading you through a place he doesn't want you to be right now. He wants you to be somewhere else. So take courage in that. You just don't know everything that's going on, but have faith and trust God. We're going to get to that. Look at verse number 8. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And while he's in Troas, maybe not sleeping very well as the team leader, wondering what he's going to do with his guys and where are we going to go and is God going to tell me no again? Well, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and we call this the Great Macedonian Vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Help us. I like that word us there because Paul wanted to go here and he wanted to go there, but these people are saying, basically God is showing Paul, these are the people that I want you to be at right now. This is where you've got to go. And Paul saw that vision in verse number 10, and after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And here's just a little interesting thing as you read your Bible. We. Where did that come from? Fourth team member. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke is now somehow on the team. I don't know how God works everything out, but now Luke is on the team. Maybe somehow this was all part of God's plan of stopping Paul to get Luke on this team. You ever think of that? God may have directed you over here so you could pick this guy up and take him with you. So you could add somebody onto your team who is absolutely essential. We just don't know how God works. So if I could encourage you tonight, don't always make why your first question. I say that in hindsight, you know, looking back on a lot of situations, and I say that looking to the scriptures. We are humanly frustrated at times, but be encouraged. God is with you. God knows what's going on. And Paul is, he's forbidden, he's disallowed, but look at the rest of verse 10, and after he, Paul, had seen the vision, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, and here's this great phrase, assuredly gathering. I mean, now they pretty much put all the pieces together. That's why God wants us here without a doubt. And what an opportunity. Now, God had called, for the Lord had called us for the to preach the gospel unto them. Now things are going to pick up. You know, I have so many things I could share with you on this particular section here. When the Lord reroutes the work, what do you do? When he stops you, when he hinders you, 2018 was, I thought, a great year for us. And I had some doubts about Cameroon even in 2018 simply because I knew what was going on over there. I was supposed to be in Cameroon in the fall of 2018 on a survey trip for my family. Where were we going to go back? Where were we going to live? What were we going to do? And elections were going on, and in the French side and in the English side, it was a war. And I just, backing up a little bit, in July of 2018, I had just delivered the airplane that was going to go to Cameroon. I had just flown it from Wisconsin to Wyoming. Wonderful trip. Just getting to know that airplane. It had a Cameroonian brother right beside me. Great, awesome trip. We did some things out west and worked on the plane and left it for the pilot who was going to bring it to Cameroon to fix it up and put his gas tanks in, etc. And so things were moving along with that airplane. And if you know the history, that plane didn't arrive until 2022, I think. But we thought it was going to arrive in 2018. That just tells you something happened. July, I got back to Wisconsin and was at the air show, Grady A air show every year, and got a call from my mom. Your dad's in the hospital. You need to come down. Never got to see him alive again. He was diagnosed with cancer, and he was gone very quickly. That was August 2018. I said, we need to go down to Illinois and help my mom out with some things, and I don't know how long we're going to be there, but that's where we're going. So I drove and moved my family down there, involved in an accident on the way down, totaled our van. But we got down there and began to help my mom and even the church that she was in, preach for them quite a bit. And I believe it was October 1st or 31st, I forget. I got another message. Brother Charles Wesco has been shot and killed in Cameroon. I was supposed to be there with them. I felt in my heart the Lord just didn't want me to go. My dad passed away, and in Cameroon, I just, it's like, it's not the time for me to go right now. And we got that message, and my wife and I hugged each other and just were, we didn't know what to do, what to say. Now the road just seems so much more cloudy, just in a fog. And not even going into all the pain that missionary family went through, they were in Cameroon for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Had answered God's call to go there, spent so much time in preparing and training, and wow, I can't even go into that. And what do you do when you have a situation like that? Well, we just, honestly, we waited, prayed, asked God to show us what to do, and we just did not know what our future held. February 2019 rolls around, and thank God for the idea that somebody had, that all the missionaries, we just need to get together in the States and pray and ask God to help us. And we got together at Southland Christian Camp in Louisiana. Pastor Craig Scott came down and preached to us. And we just listened to the word, and we're together. And somehow the Lord just restored our souls during that time. And I believe it was during that time that we recommitted ourselves to go back to Cameroon. And you know, I can't explain it, but before that time, I had no interest in French. I mean, I dabbled in French, but there was nothing like special about it. And you know, it was just a duty, and we really didn't learn no much French at all. But from that time of really surrendering to go back, something clicked in our brains, and we're like, this French stuff is really cool. We've got to learn it. We got to do what we can. And I just began to dive into French and research, where can we go to learn French, and let's work on it here in the States. And the rest of 2019 was spent in raising a little extra support, traveling to churches and just kind of regrouping. I forget, Pastor Mawson, if that's when I stopped by here to see you, and you guys were still working on some projects here, and just trying to explain to churches what we're doing, how God was working our hearts. And 2019 comes to a conclusion, and we had made major arrangements to go to Quebec, Canada to learn French for a year. Had a house rented. We're exploring the possibilities of putting our kids in school, and some things we didn't have figured out yet, but we showed up on the border of Canada, December 2019, with a U-Haul trailer and a minivan. You know, I'm always nervous at these kind of places because of Cameroon, but I had no expectation of what was about to happen. We were called inside. Most cars are just cleared at the window and move on, but we had a trailer and this and that, and so we were called inside and asked for our documents and purpose and what we're doing. And a long story short, absolutely forbidden to enter Canada. I have no idea. I mean, we do kind of know looking back. Her reasoning was the paperwork, the visa is not the right one. We had everything that the school told us to get as a prestigious university where people go to learn French, and we had all of our ducks in order, so we thought. And if you can imagine a family of six being told you're not coming to Canada, of all places, Canada. I called the pastor later as we were in shell shock back at the hotel in America. We had a reservation for a hotel in Canada that night, but that's not where we were. I was in America calling him, telling him what happened. He's like, how is that possible? You're an American citizen. They should have just let you in and figured it out once you got here. That's what his cry was. He could not believe it. He's a French-speaking Canadian, and he was just devastated. We had worked a lot in preparing to work with this man in his church, and he told us to go back the second day, and he said, try this way. And I went back the second day with my family. I tell you, Pastor Mawson, that was one of the most courageous things I've ever done, to go back to the border twice, knowing I didn't have the paperwork. And wouldn't you know it, the same lady was there. And she was meaner the second day. She was mean the first day, but she was meaner the second day. Oh, man. That was not easy. We went back to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I'm not giving you all the details, but it was very disappointing. And, you know, long story short, we just said, let's just go back to Cameroon. We have no idea why we couldn't get into Canada. So many things. We had sold our summer stuff and bought winter tires. And now we have to sell our winter tires and just sell so many things to go back to Cameroon. And we had our tickets in hand, our bags just about packed in March of 2020. Uh-huh. See, it happened to you too, didn't it? Wow. I mean, I tell you, door after door after door after door closed. And so COVID happened, and Long story short, we did not get back to Cameroon for another year. It was hard, you know, and it's at some places along the way, we're not even sure we wanted to go back. I'll just be honest with you. What can we do in the States? There's a lot we can do in the States, right? Is there not things to do here? Is there not ministry here? And we plugged into our home church and we were busy and different things, but you know, I think it was about March of 2021 that we just started. I started pushing some doors, and I don't know how you would say it, scared of doors at this point. I thought they're all going to come back and swing and hit me. So every time I knocked, I got out of the way, right? So I started kind of pushing some doors open, and we sent our passports into the embassy in America to renew them all at once, and we got them back in record time. It's like, whoa. My foot's in the door. I didn't get slapped. We have passports. I think that was the picture you saw in the video. We got our passports. Came back in record time. Let's try visas now. Visas for the kids. I think actually we all needed visas because things had expired. And we sent in our visa applications and paperwork. Record time. Never had them that fast before. You know, at this point, our heads are spinning. We're like, are we actually going back to Cameroon? I honestly think we went back too fast. I think our kids were shocked. I think we were still shocked. We actually went back to Cameroon. And it was probably not an easy adjustment at that point because we had been gone so long. But we were back. And that's where we were for the last 3 years. So thank you. I look at this text and I see, you know, God saved us from being in Cameroon. From being in Canada for 2 years, for that time during COVID. That's what I can see looking back. At least one thing. I'm glad we were not in Canada trying to learn French when Canada was just in absolute lockdown for how long? So honestly, looking back, that is one blessing. I say, well, Lord, you knew. We were back in the States in our home church, able to do things there and not sitting doing nothing in Canada. Our coworkers went to Canada, I think, and they were able to stay for about 6 months after all this, and they were kicked out. So it's not easy to get where God wants you. And all that to say, this is the team directed. You look at verse 16 to 24, and we're not going to read this, but well, I do want you to see verse 14. They're directed to Philippi, and they're preaching the gospel here, and you know, God has finally got them to the place where he wants them. Look at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, she was there. She was in Philippi. She worshiped God. She heard us, whose hearts, who's still standing with Paul? The Lord. You see that? Whose heart the Lord opened. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, and the rest is history. Lydia is a believer and baptized, and her people with her. God gave them wonderful fruit. Those were the people God wanted Paul to go to. You know, Paul was just on cloud nine at this point. And just to make a long story short of Paul, you look at the rest of the story in Philippi. Was it easy? No, I think God welcomed him to Philippi with his wonderful gathering of converts. I mean, you got to have encouragement sometimes, right? After being kicked around for so long, he finally gets to Philippi. He finds some people. He preaches the gospel. They're saved and baptized. Whoa! Now what? Well, you start a church, Paul. Wow, so he goes around the city preaching, and this demon-possessed girl starts mocking him, and after a couple of days, he casts the demon out, but unfortunately got him put in prison. Now what? Unbelievable. God got us to Philippi to put us in prison? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I tell you what, Paul's still on his mission field. People are still hearing the gospel even in prison. Not to mention the warden, as we call them in Cameroon, the jailer. That guy Paul saves from suicide, and he believes in Christ with all of his house. We see the team attacked, but we see the team trusting. And when the magistrates of this city try to secretly send Paul away, now we see the team, Paul's missions team, protecting the church. And he says, absolutely not. We are not leaving this place on your terms. We're leaving on my terms. I'm a Roman citizen. I'll do what I want. And he goes to that house church, gathers the people, encourages them, and nobody touches him. You know, I believe that church was protected from then on out because of Paul. You know, God may put you through the ringer for your sake, perhaps, but are you willing to be beaten for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to be mocked and made fun of for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to be told no by God himself for the sake of the gospel? Don't go there. Go here. Are you willing to be directed by God? Are you willing to have your team shook up and changed? Are you willing to be attacked? I guess I'm just saying tonight, are you willing to trust God? As I summarize all this together tonight, when the Lord reroutes the work, at first I was asking you, what do you do? But what I really want you to know is this: when he reroutes the work, he has a purpose. He has a purpose. And in conclusion, just a few applications. He has a purpose for you as an individual. Paul was the team leader, and God was working on Paul. He showed Paul the vision. And Paul was excited and got to lead the team. And maybe your team is your family. Maybe your team is the church. Maybe your team is on the mission field, wherever. But God needs to lead you. You need to know what it's like for God to lead you. You've got to know it. You've got to experience the no's. You've got to experience the open doors, the closed doors. God wants to lead you. God has a purpose for your team, your family, your wife, your kids, your church, the team members that you work with, your Silas and Timothy and Luke's. God has a purpose for the lost. How many lost people did we see in this passage of Scripture? Well, if you count the vision from Macedonia, you got that man, and you've got the people he was talking about, the us and the them, and you've got Lydia and her workers, you've got the demon-possessed young lady, you've got the jailer and his household, and you've got the brethren of verse 40. God has a purpose. He wants those people in his church. He wants those people in heaven. He wants those people because he's preparing you to go to them. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful chapter. Missions history is exciting. This is inspired history, by the way. I love missionary biographies, but these are God's chosen first generation. So exciting. Lastly, God has a purpose, perhaps beyond your need to know. Don't think that you can figure it all out. Don't think that you always have to have an answer from God. I don't know if you parents have had to tell your kids no, and they want to know why, and sometimes you can tell them, and sometimes you just can't. What is your response to authority? Your parents, your teachers, your pastor? Nobody, I doubt in your situation, maybe it's different, but I doubt right now that there's someone just has his thumb on you and is abusing you. If there is, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about just willing at times to know that God has a plan and he doesn't have to explain it all to you. But if you stay in the Word of God and you're willing to be directed by him, you can trust him. You really can. You really can. Pastor Mawson, I'm so thankful that God got us back to Cameroon. It has